Everybody, welcome to Thursday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Morey alongside. Take it a three-handed off our good buddy Phil Bonatti, as always on a Thursday at Factin Furniture with another good friend, Rod Abadiki, and remind you again, best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California, El Paso, across from River Park. Great eats when Phil is there, and a January clearance way at Fashion, and we talk all the time about all the great work Rod does supporting athletics throughout the valley on all levels. So if you have a chance any day of the week, stop by Fashion Furniture and check out the furniture and say hello. But in particular on Thursdays like today, Phil is there and you can ask him a question in person. He'll be there 3 to 6 today. You can also give him a call on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. For us today, our good friend Matt Norville will be with us. The women losing last night. Matt, of course, the voice of the women's program at Fresno State on the radio and television as well, and also a lot of involvement with the men's games. We'll talk a little bit about what happened last night in Laradice, and there's a lot of other things to go over, particularly this Giannis situation that Matt and I talked about last week, and I was just addressing the email from Morton yesterday. Get to that. Touch upon Josiah Freeman, a few other things as well with Matt in just a couple of minutes. And again, for those that have a chance on Saturday, want to remind you up front, the women are home at 3 o'clock against Air Force at SMC. The men play at noon our time at Colorado Springs. So both teams have Air Force. Chance to watch the men on the MW at noon, and then still an hour or so after that wraps up, you'll have the opportunity to head on out to SMC, and I hope you'll watch the women as well. I'll get to all the schedules a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management, all there under one roof, 449-4500, or precisioneng.net for more information. And at that time, we'll go over what Ed is able to do in the way of fundraising for his alma mater, Fresno State. Now, before we get to Matt, a couple of other reminders here. First, tell you every day about our good friends at KFC, the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They have terrific deals going on, and we've mentioned that over and over again. The Tuesday deal, the $10 eight-piece bucket or tenders, that's still in place. They have terrific deals with Country Fried Steak during the week, or their chicken pies, or anything you might need in that regard. But right now, the focus, in addition to that terrific Zinger chicken sandwich we've talked about throughout the month, they have the $5 bowls on sale right now. Whether you're looking at the classic or spicy bowls, just $5. They're creamy mashed potatoes, sweet corn, melty cheese, and crispy nugget bowls, all stacked into that one entity. You can go classic, or you can bring the heat with the bold spicy flavor. Either option is great. And in addition to that, for $5, you can grab the Maddie's Cheesy Nuggy Gravy Bowl, which has crispy nuggets, rich gravy, and plenty of cheese. No shortcuts there either. So you have all these great meals for you at any time of the day at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And one more time, the motto has been, and it is completely legit, finger-licking good. It's been that way since I was a kid, and trust me, that is a long time ago. So stop on in those local KFCs, and also tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout this valley of ours. All right, the other reminder is about the weather from our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They've been in the Central Valley since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them to work even during COVID. Very professional people, very competitive pricing, and always available for you. LeesAir.com, 825-533-7825-Lees for more information. And as I mentioned also, they sponsor the Lee's Air hotline. That's where Matt is on right now, waiting to come up at 559-320-1430. You can also give Phil a call, as I mentioned, from the general public to Phil during his show. So mark that down, 559-320-1430. As far as the forecast goes, cooling off a little bit today, and then we are back up into the mid-60s. And by the time we get to next week, even though there isn't a real great chance of rain right now, this has been a really dry January, and we'll get to February, of course, at the end of the weekend, it is going to end up with temperatures in the 70s by the time we get to mid-next week. Now, I've talked about this over and over again, and that is, it's supposed to be winter in February. When I was a kid, it was winter. Every time my sister had an August birthday, it looked like Mardi Gras in a festival. I had a February birthday, it looked like Alfred Hitchcock was ready to make a remake of The Birds at that particular point, or the original, because I'm so damn old. Like when we get to February, it looks like spring the entire time. And right now, if you look out there, it does, at least from the inside to out, look like spring as well. It might be a little cool. And of course, overnight, the big issue with the dew point right around that 41, 42 mark, somewhere in there, you have the opportunity for fog. And we keep saying, and I think we had another advisory till noon today, be careful in the fog. We all know it growing up in it, and particularly in the outlying areas. But overall, it's a really good forecast because you're looking at mid-60s into 70s over the next 10 days, and then we'll see what February brings us in the way of rain, hopefully more than we have gotten in January thus far. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-Lee's. Anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing. Thanks also to the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. He'll afford me the time a little bit later to tell you about the schedules for both 790 and 1430. All that having been said, let's turn to our good buddy, outstanding voice of the women's program and also of the men. It is Matt Norville. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, Matt. I do want to get into this stuff about Giannis because so many of the questions have been about the relationship of Giannis to this town, to Fresno, because his wife, well, we talked about this, Mariah, is the daughter of Pat Riddlesberger, who was an outstanding player at Fresno State and is somebody who works in the school district at high levels right now. And we see Giannis around town all the time in the off season. So we've talked, Matty, you can't miss him. You know, he's one of the guys I always think about. Mark Harmon, who was an outstanding quarterback at UCLA. His dad, Tom Harmon, a college football legend. And of course, I think most people know Mark Harmon for all the years that he was on NCIS and all of that. And he talked about during the protest times when he was at UCLA that Bill Walton kept getting arrested at all the protests. And he said, Bill could never figure out why he got singled out. And he said, well, Bill, it might be because you're 7 feet, 1 inch tall. You have a giant shock of red hair, a big nose, and you ride a 10-speed around that is jacked up to about Bolivia, he said, around campus. So it might be why you stand out in the crowd. I would purport to you, Matt, that Giannis stands out in the crowd, and we will get to that in just a second. But first, I do want to ask you about last night. Most of the time, Matty, if you hold the team to 15 points in the half and you have a one-point quarter against you defensively, you probably are way ahead. The team was only up 20-15 at the half. Did they lose that game on the 8-0 run at the end of the game last night in Laramie, or did the women lose it when they didn't have a nice cushion when we hit halftime? What's your take on this?
I actually think it's neither. They lost it because they shot 22% from the floor, Tony, and they were 1 of 17 from three. You only score 42 points, you're not winning many college basketball games. It's just plain and simple. I mean, they only gave up 47. So defensively, they were fine, but offensively, they struggled. I mean, an 8-0 run at the end, you didn't score the final 3 minutes. I guess when you have a three-point lead, that's technically when you lost the game. But, yeah, when you only give up 1 point in a quarter, but then you don't score double digits yourself and your lead is only five, you have a chance to really stretch it. But honestly, throughout the game, I mean, they took 63 shots. They took 12 more shots than Wyoming. They out-rebounded Wyoming. They had 15 offensive rebounds. They just didn't shoot the basketball well. 22% shooting from the floor is not going to win you many basketball games. 42 points just isn't going to cut it. 1 of 17 from 3, and that's why they lost yesterday. And that was a big game in terms of that middle of the pack in conference because you'd already beaten Wyoming by double digits the first time. I felt like if you could get Wyoming, you would hold the sweep, which means you would hold the tiebreak over the Cowgirls. But they went to Laramie, which Fresno State has had some issues playing there before, and they just couldn't score. They couldn't make any kind of shot. It was mid-range they couldn't hit. They couldn't make layups. They couldn't knock down threes. It was just one of those kind of games that happened in the game of basketball. Defensively, they kept you in the game. But if you put up 42 points in a game, you're just not going to win. Honestly, at the college level, if you're scoring less than 50, you more often than not, you're just not going to win the basketball game. So that's one of those. I think if a coach looks back on it, he just says, hey, you know, sometimes we talk about it's a make or miss league, but it's you just miss too many shots. You're just not going to win games when it comes down to that.
Yeah, and Matt, I think that's where I was headed toward was you had 20 points at the half because of your offensive inefficiency. You should have, if you held the team to 15, you should have some sort of double-digit lead at the half. If you don't, it means, like you said, your own offensive failings. Unless you're back to the old days before the 30-second shot clock, which, of course, was never an issue with the women's game, but with the men's game, it was for a long, long time. I had an email complaining, saying, why is it a bunch of old white guys always seem to make decisions at the NCAA way too late? But I grew up with Phil Ford and the Four Corners at NC, so I know how antiquated some of the rules were. The women's game has been much more forward about shot clock, about the fact they play quarters, the fact that you can now, as I talked to Jamie White when this happened a few years back, you can call timeout, advance the ball like the NBA does at the end of the games. These are things the men's programs ought to do. But for the women, it's always been a more fast-paced game because of the shot clock, and it's hard to believe you would score that poorly. But, and, you know, you brought it up, Matt, and I'm not going to use it as an excuse. We've seen the men's team go to 72-20, which is the elevation. They remind you about that all the time in Laramie because it's right there on the court, lest you try to forget it, okay? But guys have had headaches, they've had fatigue, they've had a lot of things coming from sea level to that. Is that not a fair reason? Is that just an excuse, period, or is there a legitimacy to that?
There's a legitimacy to it, but that's not the reason you only score 42 points. The legitimacy is if you say, hey, towards the end of the game, you start phasing out and the other team goes on a big late and then you suddenly aren't making shots in the second half. And that's when you say, yeah, there's legitimacy. But in the first half, if you're not making shots, that has nothing to do with elevation because you're fully rested and ready to go. It's more of a second half kind of thing. There is legitimacy to it. And trust me, when you play in elevation, there is something to that. But it really doesn't affect you and come into play big time until that second half. And then also pace is a part of it, too, where it becomes an issue. And Wyoming does not play fast. They play very deliberate, very slow pace, half court. They're going to try to grind you out. So, yeah, you can get gassed a little bit playing defense, but it's not like when Fresno State goes down to Albuquerque to play New Mexico and, you know, going in, it's going to be basically a sprint. You're running up and down the whole game where you're going, wow, you're playing a slower pace, half-court type of game, you're really not going to feel it as much as an up-tempo style game. So I don't really think elevation came into play yesterday for Fresno State. I just think they just didn't make enough shots. And if you don't make enough shots, you're just not going to win a college basketball game. And that's what happened yesterday.
Well, again, they're home to Air Force at SMC on Saturday. The men are at Clune to play Air Force as this will be the end of what has been a long, long stretch of home and homes against the Academy, and whether there's going to be any kind of relationship continuing with the changes in conference as far as a non-conference game for basketball, I guess that remains to be seen. I do want to ask you, though, Matt, about what you saw with Fresno State men's-wise against Grand Canyon. You know, I hate to get back to the old term playing just well enough to get you beat, but again, they were in the game for much of it. They had a great shot at that game, but down the stretch, Henley took over. The Bulldogs could not score the way they needed to. The length certainly bothered them. Was it a credible effort against a better club, or do you say the Bulldogs should have had a better chance to win that game at home?
I like the effort against a very good team in GCU. I left, obviously, you always leave wanting more. You wanted the win. You felt like it's a game they could have stolen. That's at least what I thought from watching it. But I love the effort. I love what I saw. Obviously, we talked about it last week, Gorey continues to improve. I mean, you're to a point now, Tony, he's probably their best player. Like, you're looking at it, I mean, he's probably been that for the last month or so. I mean, like I said, Paul and Coach Q would have a better feel for it because they're seeing him night in, night out. They go to a couple of practices. But I'm just saying right now, he's probably their best player. Heidbreder is their best scorer in terms of statistics, but Gorey's probably your go-to guy because he's just got so much versatility and he can do more. And I love the effort that they gave. It just felt like they could have stolen that one if they made a couple of more plays, maybe defended just a little better, came down with a big-time rebound. But overall, especially when, Tony, I know it's not something that gets said a lot, but when the Valley shows up, want to put on a really good performance and maybe get a win, and then everyone leaves pretty happy. They gave it everything that they had. They just weren't able to pick up that final W. But you had a good crowd. That was as good a crowd as I've seen at the Save Mart Center, probably since Coach Wahlberg has been the coach at Fresno State. So it's one where you want more. But I was pleased with the effort. And I just sit there going, man, they just need just a little bit, and then they can be in maybe – and compete with that top echelon of the conference.
Well, first of all, you're right. The crowd, if you put that crowd at Celland, it would have filled the original Celland Arena, which what we saw when Boyd Grant was here, that 6,000 would have given you a sellout crowd. And, of course, changed when they added seats when Tark was around initially before SMC was built to 10. But it tells you that when you spread it out in a 15,000-seat facility, it may not look as much as it might be in regard to an impact, but it is a place that can get a little loud, and that's good. And they are making progress in that regard. The one thing about it, Matt, and I was just talking to Fertig and to Paul about it earlier in the week, and to Jackson, they have got good opportunities at home the rest of the way, but they have got two road games, one at Logan and one at Phoenix to play Grand Canyon. Of course, Logan to play Utah State, that I find it hard to believe they can win those games. They have games against San Jose State at home, and then the one, of course, at the Academy coming up on Saturday. They're excellent opportunities to win. Can this team win those tweener games? If they lose the two they're supposed to lose and win the two they're supposed to win, can they win the rest of those tweener games and make this really an outstanding rebuild season, or is that asking too much right now because their shooting is so inconsistent? You know, they are the team that if they make the threes, like so many teams in this day and age, they look great, but when they don't look great. Can they get consistency here?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to just point out. I was going to say they're going to have to score. They only scored 57 points against Grand Canyon. They shot 30% from the floor. If they do that, then the answer is no. But if they don't, then the answer is yes. I think for the year, when you look at their numbers, they're 44% from the floor, and from three, they're 31%. You want that number to be a little higher than that, but it's going to come down to scoring the basketball. For the year, they're averaging 72 points a game, but you've got to be able to – you can't score 57 points in a men's game and expect to win. They're averaging 66 points a game in conference play. They're giving up almost 70. You and I have seen a lot of basketball, and you hear coaches all the time talk about it. You hear the age-old adage all the time, you know, defense wins championships. Yeah, but offense wins games. And that's the thing. You've got to score so that you can win games to get to the championship, where then it gets decided a lot of times by your defense. But in the meantime, I mean, you watch NBA games, you watch high-level college basketball, you watch any kind of basketball, high school basketball, and you just see that you've got to be able to put an offense out there that can score the basketball. And so for Fresno State, they've got some scoring capabilities with Heidbreder and Gorey, and Zion can give it to you. DJ gives it to you from time to time. You can get Foss knocking down some threes here. We've seen some big games from Manny. So you've got some players and some tools that can do it. Consistency is a big word that you need, but you just have to consistently score the basketball. And I think that's where Fresno State has struggled at times, where fans will watch and say, man, they look so good this game, but then the next game, they're not able to score. Some of it is shot selection, Tony. Every shot is not a good shot. So sometimes it's knowing your strengths and taking the shot that's good for you, not just throwing the ball up just to get a shot up. That is part of it. And then the other part is just shooting the basketball with confidence. You just got to have confidence when you're out there and trust your training and trust that you can shoot the basketball and you can score. And if you can do that, I think then, yes, Fresno State, if they can score the basketball, they can definitely win those, as you call them, those tweener games.
One last thing about the loss to Grand Canyon, and Paul brought it up on Monday, and he's right. I mean, I brought up that early in the game, and this has been something that has plagued this team, the inconsistency, and it's not just the same guys. If we're the same guys that are having a problem, it'd be one thing. It's just sometimes Foss is on, sometimes he's not. Sometimes even Jake is not on, although they're a greater defensive concentration against him. But they missed open shots early, but then late, the length of Grand Canyon started to bother them. Late in the game, how much was it Fresno State just continuing to miss critical shots in a game that they had the lead for a lot of the game? And how much was it that Grand Canyon turned up the wick in that last 5 minutes? Can you differentiate that at all for me, Matt?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I thought, honestly thought Fresno State was pressing a little bit, which is bound to happen. You're playing against an opponent that's a really good basketball team that you think that you know you have a chance to win. I thought they were pressing a bit, but yeah, length. I mean, you hear Jay Billis talk about it all the time. I say it all the time. Length, man, is so huge in basketball. That wingspan, you might see a guy and he's 6'4", then he comes out to defend you and he puts his hands up and all of a sudden he's like 6'9". It's a game changer, man. Even if they don't block the shot, even if they don't deflect the pass, it's in the back of your head as an offensive player when they come out to contest or you go to make a simple pass and you're like, they could deflect it. It just changes things enough where maybe the long arms on defense might push the offense out a little further. Maybe you take a step back to take the three to give yourself a little bit more time with the guy closing in on you. I think all of those will play a factor. I thought GCU definitely put the clamps on a little bit, but I thought also at the same time Fresno State was pressing a bit. And pressing isn't always – you don't always see it. It's just that you're putting a lot of stress on a shot. And that's what I mean by pressing. You take the shot and you're just like, I got to make this shot. Instead of just letting the game come to you, taking the shot in rhythm and acting like, hey, it's just another shot. And that's what I thought I saw, those two things towards down the stretch against GCU.
Well, again, the women are home on Saturday, the men at Air Force, so you've got enough time to watch the men on the MW at noon and then head on out to SMC, and the women will be there to host Air Force. So an opportunity for Fresno State to pick up W's on both sides of the ledger. We'll see what happens on Saturday and certainly talk about it next week. All right, Matt, some of the things that pertain to local guys, including Paul George, I want to get to, but first – Howard had sent in. It's a nice picture there, Howard, about the caught tampering situation with Ole Miss, and Lane Kiffin is always in the mix. And we're talking about Josiah Freeman and the fact that there was illegal contact made, or that's at least the allegation right now. And I'm going to ask you, Matt, without I can't point directly to Lane, who's not at Ole Miss anymore, and I know the conspiracy theorists down in the Southeast are saying that maybe he set Ole Miss up to look bad because his departure was not exactly well received in Oxford. That's the understatement of all time, I think. Whether that there's truth to that or not, we've talked about this. We know Lane. There's a reason that Al Davis couldn't find him in the Raider facility when he was trying to fire him that day, which is still one of the more unbelievable occurrences. Matt, you know this. Lane can be sneaky. You got to catch him on a tarmac somewhere to fire him. But not certain about who's to blame exactly, what the legitimacy is. I will tell you this. Anytime you're, whether you want to call it a group of six or a mid-major, depending upon the sport, and you've got the likes of Ole Miss and Clemson involved in things, we have talked about it in the Southeast, and not just the Southeastern Conference, but also in the ACC down there. We talked about this. Football is not a religion. It's much more important than that. That's the running joke down there in the Bible Belt, okay? Does anything surprise you in this day and age? Anything about illegal contact, about agents, about NIL? Is there anything that we can be shocked about at this point, Matt?
No, Tony, not even close. No. I mean, it's a free-for-all. Everyone sues the NCAA. Everyone's winning. You want to play 10 years of college, go ahead. Sue the NCAA, you'll probably win. You want to get a kid after, you know, the kid's already signed a contract, you'll probably win. That's where we're at, because there's no guidelines, because no one has any power to stop it. So if you're asking me, does anything surprise me? No, it doesn't surprise me. I think it's just more mainstream now, and people can get upset, but the truth of the matter is, Tony, and you know this, the ratings were huge for the college football playoffs. And people were upset that Notre Dame wasn't in it. They were like, oh, Notre Dame should have been in it. There were two group of six. The ratings were still gigantic. Oh, all the movement with the transfer portal and then the NIL and kids signing a contract. Then they're leaving, suing the school suing them. People still watch. And so it hasn't affected anything unless the bottom line changes or if you get some coaches and some athletic directors and some presidents of schools and they want to revamp the entire college landscape. That's the only way you can do it. And I know we spent all this time on this air and I told you my things. And I know my things, to certain people, they're well received. To other people, it's not as well received because it's changing everything that you know about college athletics. But I think you've got to come up. You have to let the college athletes have a union for starters so that then you can have a collective bargaining agreement where now we can set guidelines and things can actually stick. Because otherwise, nothing's going to stick and nothing surprises me at all when it comes to college athletics. It's a big money business. And at the end of the day, the fans have already spoken that they really, I mean, they don't like it, but they really doesn't bother them at the end of the day. They're going to buy tickets and go sell out a stadium. They're going to also, at the same time, watch all the games, and they're going to want to tailgate on that Saturday. And so if you're doing all of that, I mean, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, because for most fans, they're rooting for the school big time, more so than they are the player. So the player just at this school or at another school, there's tampering involved. It just gives you another reason. It's kind of, if you think about it as reality television, Tony, just gives you another reason that if we use Lane Kiffin, for example, Ole Miss fans can hate Lane Kiffin. So it just adds more to it. Guess what just happened? Ole Miss, when they play LSU, those ticket prices just went up. The ratings are going to be huge for that game. So I nothing surprises me at all, and I don't think, unless you really want to change it, you have to get all those key people involved, because you and I have talked about it. Congress is not going to do anything about this. I know you've got coaches come out. Congress has got to do something. Why is Congress going to do something about it, first of all? And second of all, not to get into politics or anything, we're in such a society right now where people just refuse to compromise and work with certain people. So I think you've got to leave it up to the people in charge, the presidents of the school, the athletic directors, and the coaches. Get some people that are well-respected in those industries and come up with a plan. And you're going to have to look outside the box and really revamp college sports if you want to kind of get a grasp and a hold on this thing. Otherwise, this is where we're at.
Well, you're correct. And even today, you know, Ted Cruz is making news by saying, and it's on the website at ESPN.com, saying that if they go to student athletes as employees, it will cause the smaller schools to give up sport as we know it because they will not be able to pay their players. On the other hand, he still wants collective bargaining, and we're not going to get into it again, but Matt, we've talked about it before, and you just referenced it. It is very difficult to see a path where you do not have employees, but yet you want to have collective bargaining. That's a very, very slippery slope. I suppose
Tony, I don't know how you do that. That's the thing. It's like, that's why I said that's the only way I could see it. And then at the same time, the reason why collective bargaining is so important is so that you can have guidelines. I can say, I know coaches are pushing for this, which I'm actually for, by the way. 5 years is all you get no matter what in college athletics.
Right.
Nothing more. Agreed. I don't care if you get hurt. I don't care if you redshirt. You get, every kid gets 5 years total, and that is it. So if you get hurt, you lost the year. That's just on you. If you want to play five and you don't get hurt, you play five. But you can't put any of these guidelines in place yet until you have some sort of collective bargaining. And I just don't know any other way you can do it besides having a union. Like, yeah, that's the only way it works in professional sports, because then you're just going to have individual kids continue to sue the NCAA or schools to sue kids. And it just, it's a huge mess. And I just can't think of any other way than that. And I think that's what you have to go to. But if you're not going to go to it, Tony, then we're just going to have this, what we have right now, where you've got kids that NCAA can come out and say no. And you're like, well, then I'll just go to the NCAA, or a school say, hey, they signed an NIL deal, but they're going to another school, like what just happened with Duke in Miami. I mean, I just don't know what to do, Tony.
Well, and that's why in a theoretical world, I suppose you could thread the needle. But as you're mentioning, all it takes is one person, if they are not bound by collective bargaining because they have a contractual agreement as employees, that individual just steps out, finds a smart lawyer. And we know this, our legal system is based upon precedent. Everybody knows that. So you set a precedent. Then everybody else follows that, and it becomes a NASCAR race where somebody else finds a better line, so four get behind him, then the draft takes them forward. Everybody else tries to jump to that line. Somebody jumps over here. That's a better, and before you know it, you're changing course constantly, and you would have the courts continuing to undermine agreements, and all it would take is one to undermine the agreement if you don't have it binding. And that's why it's wonderful for Cruz on one side of the ledger, or Hakeem Jeffries or somebody on the other side to talk about this theoretically, but to get everybody behind it without making people employees and knowing you will have certain schools that have to relegate their programs to club sports without thinning the herd, and that's a harsh way to look at it. I don't see how you can do this without making everybody an employee. It is a real mess right now, and I think everybody can recognize that. Now, the question about Paul George, I'll tell you what, Ricardo, I'm going to hold that one because the Giannis questions from Mort, who brought it up the other day, from James, from a variety of other people, that is more front and center right now because it's breaking news today. Paul George about a chance to be the first of our Mount Rushmore to win a title. We'll talk about that as the season unfolds. We have plenty of time. With Giannis, we are talking now about a clock ticking in the next week and a half, if there's going to be a deal made before summer. And Matt, I want to come to you because you and I were talking about this last week. Giannis has a degree of control over this because you have to make sure if a deal is done, even though in theory the Bucks could send him anywhere right now, nobody is going to give up the assets the Bucks want in the way of players and draft choices if they think Giannis is going to take a hike after a year. You have to know he's going to stick around. It becomes relevant because, as we've talked, the Warriors want him desperately, so much so I'm hearing they're willing to give up four first-rounders. That's the most you can give up. They're also obviously more than happy to give up Kuminga. They would give up Draymond Green. They would give up Buddy Hield. They might even give up injured Jimmy Butler if that's what the Bucks wanted. My question to you, Matt, is the same one, though. With the family relationship, even though Giannis kind of wanted to stay East, it's a lot easier to get to an NBA final from the East. Since Mariah is from here, since Giannis spends a lot of time here, and we've talked about the influence that your family life can have on you as a player, do you see a viability to the Warriors rolling out the red carpet, the Bucks saying yes, and most importantly, Giannis saying yes? Do you see it happening?
I see the Warriors could theoretically roll out the red carpet. I don't know if they have enough to give Milwaukee. Now, those four first-rounders are huge. Plus, if you're giving Draymond, Kuminga, I would think Milwaukee on top of that would also want Butler. I know he'd be coming off of a knee injury, but you'd want at least something, and not just four first-rounders, Kuminga, Draymond, and that's it. I think you would probably, if you're the Bucks, say, hey, I want Butler. Would the Warriors go that far? I mean, reports say that they could go that far. Would they? I don't know. But, yeah, I can see definitely the Warriors rolling out the red carpet and wanting him. Milwaukee's good. What they're sitting there is they obviously want Giannis to go to where he wants to go because no team's going to give you as much if they think Giannis isn't going to stay. And that's why I think New York's a big one in play. But at the same time, they also want the most as well so that they can kind of build for the future and restart their organization a little bit. So I personally would obviously love to see him for Golden State. Everyone that knows me does. Love Steph Curry, love going to Warriors games, love to see him at Golden State. But if I was in Milwaukee, I'd be taking a really long look at New York because New York will also roll out the red carpet because Giannis and Brunson in New York, I mean, that's showtime, man. And he has a much better chance of going with those two, going to another NBA Finals and competing. I mean, look at what LeBron did in the East all those years. He didn't have to deal with the West. LeBron's a great player, and he was on great teams, but he didn't have to go through the West. The West is brutal. So, yeah, Golden State will roll it out. Will it be enough for Milwaukee? I'm not so sure. I think if you throw Butler involved, I think you say yeah. But if you just tell me Draymond, Kuminga, and 4 first-round picks, I would probably want another player involved if it's a pretty good player for me to pull that and make that a move.
Well, they're saying, too, that maybe that other player might be Brandon Podziemski, who is from that area, by the way. But the Warriors, Danny Ainge wanted Pods last year when they were looking at Lauri Markkanen. And Ainge had said, by the way, Ainge, not coincidentally, was sitting courtside the other night. Okay, so, but I'm just saying that you have a situation where Ainge said, if we're talking Markkanen, then I want Podziemski. And the Warriors were hesitant enough. Podziemski, particularly after having a tough stretch last year, is really playing well right now. My only issue with this is, if from a Warrior perspective, Matt, is Joe Lacob knows that he's going to own the team a lot longer than the next couple of years, and he knows more than likely, particularly with Steph Curry's intense desire to give it a shot at some pro golf tour. He knows it's a long shot, but he has the time and the money and will be in his late 30s. If it is the case where Curry, Butler, Green, they're all riding off into the sunset, obviously Butler now with the injury, after next year, that it's all done after next year. If you are Joe Lacob, as much as you want to give Steph Curry another chance at a title, you know that in a couple of years you still own this club, and I don't know how much you want to sacrifice all of your future, particularly because where Kuminga's become persona non grata, Joe Lacob still loves him. So I will ask you from this point of view, if you're Lacob, as much as you know there's going to be a statue of Steph Curry out there in a big hurry, are you a little hesitant, even though you wouldn't say it publicly, to say, I can't strip down this whole franchise because Steph is going to be gone in 2 years and I'm still going to be here as the owner?
You'd be hesitant. But that would be a conversation you would have to have with Steph one-on-one, and I think that's a conversation as an owner and what Steph's done for the franchise you have. You legitimately say, basically the question is, how much time do we have with you? And if he says, hey, I'm looking to play another 3 to 4, boom. If he says, hey, I'm looking to play another 1 to 2, yeah, then you kind of look at it and go, man, I mean, well, you still have Giannis, because Giannis would re-up. But now you don't have anything to build around Giannis, and that would be the issue that you run into if you're trying to win. Or you could just take the approach as well. There is a third option where you just say, you know, he's brought us so much good times. He basically helped us build the Chase Center. We're just going to give him everything he needs until the day he's gone, and then when the day he's gone, we're just going to prepare from then. You could always do that as well, and that really just comes up to what Lacob wants to do, and really – the conversation he has with Steph Curry, because you've got to have that conversation with a player of his caliber. A lot of people, I mean, Tony, you know this, but a lot of fans don't realize these conversations are happening with superstar players all the time. If you have good relationships, yep. The owners are talking to them to know that they're on the same page. By the time the deal happens, not always, but most of the time, the superstar player at least knows what direction it's going before that deal happens.
One other postscript to all the guys who emailed about it, and that is, there is the possibility that where Lacob is very high on Kuminga, and I understand that because his athleticism is through the roof, and you know he's an isolation guy. We've talked about it. He is, again, the soloist playing with an ensemble cast. That's how the Warriors are. The sun is Steph Curry. You revolve around that. And so if you're a guy who wants to play isolation ball, and we saw it happen with Kelly Oubre, who was effective with the Warriors, but not within their system. D'Angelo Russell, the same thing. Even to a degree, Kevin Durant was not happy, even though he was deferred to all the time, because it is Steph's party. That's all there is to it. But if Kuminga has become kind of persona non grata in the league, if it is a case where the Bucks aren't that interested in what Lacob is able to do, is send Green away, send even Podziemski away, and Butler's contract, and Kuminga stays, and now you have 31-year-old Giannis, and you have a young Kuminga, and you have Moody and those guys still around, maybe you're right, Matt. Maybe Steph Curry says, listen, if Giannis is going to be here, then maybe I will play like LeBron is playing into his early 40s. So you're right. The one blessing for the Warriors. You can trust Steph Curry's word. You know this. He's not going to tell you that he'll play another 3 or 4 years and leave you after a year barring injury. You know that won't happen. But if the answers he gives you up front tell you in all honesty that he doesn't intend to stay, boy, that makes it a very, very tough choice. So we'll see what happens. But it is relevant if they want to get a deal done. They've only got to, what, February 5th to do it now before they wait to the summer. And if they wait to the summer, the leverage belongs more and more to Giannis at that point vis-a-vis the Bucks. So we'll see what happens. Matt, one thing I wanted to ask you about quickly, and I brought it up earlier, and this, again, manifested itself collegially in that outstanding game between Arizona and BYU the other night at Provo. And like I said, the Bulldogs are probably lucky they're not in the Big 12 basketball-wise right now, because that conference is just locked and loaded, for goodness sake. But you had a couple seconds to go, and you can't advance the ball. When are we going to change the rule the way the women did several years ago and allow you to advance the ball with a timeout as long as you didn't try to move it up court? When are we going to do that?
The positive me says it's going to happen. The cynical me says never. The women's rules are just better than the men's rules. Not even close, Tony. I know you talked about that earlier and we didn't delve into it, but the women's rules are just better. You've got to change that rule. I know coaches will say, well, that's part of, like, no, you change the rule. It changes the whole complexion of the game. It'll make the games even more exciting. You're not going to see the Bryce Drew shots of the world that many times, the Christian Laettner shots of the world that many times. You'll see way more buzzer beaters if you can advance the ball. There's also a strategic part of the game in play, too, in terms of keeping a timeout. You'll see it on the women's game all the time. Coaches will save a couple of timeouts so that they can advance the ball. You see that in the NBA all the time. I think you've got to change that rule. There's two rules on the men's side I really want them to change, and I know they won't. I want the four quarters, 10 minutes, quarters, yep. And I want the timeout advancing to the front court. But, Tony, I just don't think it's going to happen. College sports is so – this is why we're in the predicament we're in terms of the NIL. No one can look ahead. They just wait for things to finally come to a head, and then they try to react, and by then it's too late. And on this, I just don't think they want to, because they feel like it's going to change the game. There's a lot of reasons. Some of it's the media timeout. Some of it, they think it's going to change the game going back in the day. But you got to understand, sports does evolve, and the three-point line came into play, and they didn't have the three-point line before. It's okay to go to four quarters, 10 minutes, and advance the basketball. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll talk more about it in weeks to come. But, boy, the four quarters, I talked to Jamie White about it when they switched it, and that is one of the things is it wipes the – fouls back out. So in case you get into deep foul trouble early in a quarter, you just wait for the quarter to run out. In the college game right now for the men, if you get in deep foul trouble, it haunts you for the rest of the half, and it can change the game entirely. And it also changes the personal foul situation because of the breaks. It's a really good rule, and it should be there. But again, it's what the emailer said at the start. It is always moving at glacier-like speed when it comes to the change with the NC2A. It's unfortunate. Matt, I appreciate it. Listen, have a great one on Saturday. Tell Taylor I said hello, and I will certainly hope this team, the women, will be able to put a W up, in the men as well, both against Air Force. Really appreciate it, my friend. I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, anytime, Tony, anytime.
Great, great visit, Matt. Thank you. Matt Norville, guys, voice of the women's program. Again, women home against Air Force on Saturday afternoon at 3, the men at noon our time at Air Force. So you can catch them both, one on the internet and the other in person at SMC. We'll take a break, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. He has the full 3 hours today at Fashion Furniture. We'll do that after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 253, coming to the show. I hand it off to Phyllis. Great show behind the bench. The full 3 hours today at Fashion Furniture. Again, El Paso across from River Park, the best furniture on the planet. The January clearance is underway, by the way, at Fashion Furniture. Good eats when Phil is there, no doubt about it, and the great conversation. So stop on by El Paso across from River Park, 3 to 6. Nothing like it in all of California, the great furniture at Fashion Furniture. And say hello to Phil, ask him a question in person or give him a call on the Lee's Air hotline. Either way, find 559-320-1430 and say hello to Rod Avedikian and tell Rod thanks for all the support these many years for athletics at every level throughout the Valley. Every time we've needed things financially, Rod has been there over and over again. I don't care if it's a Valley Championship football game, whatever it might be, obviously for Fresno State, and in all sorts of athletics across the Valley. And Rod has always been front and center and really appreciated, and very happy to see that his tremendous business continues with its great success. So stop on in today and say hello to everybody at Fashion Furniture. All right. As far as the other reminders go, before we get to the schedule, I want to remind you one more time about our friends at KFC. Right now, they have the $5 bowl in place. So we got the big bowl game coming up at Levi's a week from Sunday, and we have the great $5 KFC bowls, classic or spicy, right now available for a limited time at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. These bowls feature creamy mashed potatoes, sweet corn, melty cheese, and crispy nuggets, all stacked in one bowl. We have the classic, or you can go a little bit more bold with the spicy flavor. Either way, it's terrific. Also, you have an opportunity to grab the $5 Maddie's Cheesy Nuggy Gravy Bowl that has crispy nuggets, rich gravy, and plenty of cheese. No shortcuts. It's terrific as well. All of this just $5. As we mentioned, they've got other great specials throughout the week, including the Tuesday $10 8-piece or 8 tenders offer. You have a country fried steak offer during the week. You've also got their great pot pies. A lot of things going on at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And if you stop in, tell them also thanks for everything they do in supporting athletics throughout the Valley. And as always, everything at KFC is finger-licking good. The other reminder comes courtesy of our longtime friend and outstanding businessman, Ed Dunkel, and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering. They allow me the time every day to tell you about the schedule for both 1430 and 790. Precision Civil Engineering, 449-4500 or precisioeng.net. We always commend Ed for the great fundraising he does for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. Ed, a proud grad of Fresno State and the Lyles College of Engineering, and a lot of those folks do come to work for Ed at Precision. And again, the goal is always to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It works beautifully, and we thank Ed for all his support during the academic year. As far as the schedule, tonight, mentioned the play-by-play will belong over on 790. Great matchup, the Oilers and the Sharks. So you've got Celebrini, you've got Connor McDavid, you've got Leon Draisaitl, a really good matchup, 5:30 with Dan Ruzanowski over on 790. For us, no play-by-play on the station, but Phil does have the 3 hours at Fashion Furniture we mentioned earlier. So stop on in and see him or give him a call on that Lee's Air hotline. Again, 559-320-1430. Again, Fashion Furniture, El Paso, across from River Park. Later in the week, the Lakers are back to action. And then, of course, for us, the feature that we're looking forward to, the Super Bowl from Westwood One a week from Sunday. Phil will be on Radio Row in Santa Clara all next week, so stay tuned for that. And the final reminders, everything for the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcast there. Get the app, makes it a lot easier to listen. We're with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net. TDAD, the number one at att.net. Also, Paul Metters, two fine shows. Wednesdays, 790, 6 to 7, Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. And then Saturday morning is a long-running, outstanding show, Central Valley Sports Report on 1430, 10 a.m. to noon, live from First Ring Sports. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Matt Norville. Jackson with me tomorrow. We'll get back into Fresno State football. Stay tuned for Phil. Stop by and see him at Fashion Furniture or give him a call on that Lee's Air hotline. We'll see you tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.